Welcome to Wish Upon a Star. My name is Angel Bites, and I'm your host. Wish Upon a Star is an exciting program that showcases participants in the arts arena with discussions of the challenges and some advice in making it in the visual, musical, literary, painting, and performing arts. As a unique part of the show, we will interview professional guests, experts in the fields of songwriting, entertainment law, copywriting laws, publishing, recording, studios, promoters, communications, and other topics relative to these highly competitive industries. Ladies and gentlemen, this is one of the most interesting topics of the season. The season when there is a chill in the air, when families come together for hot soups, apple pie, and when those proverbial good old days stories emerge. What better way to start the conversation than with a traditional griot story of African culture and legacy? Before the beginning of the griot storytelling, few Americans had no idea or even heard of griots or knew its meaning. Our honored guest today, Denise Valentine, has contributed greatly to the preservation of this African oral tradition in the United States and abroad. Denise, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
I am so glad that you were willing to support our effort in this, and we're going to start with a general bio. Denise Valentine is a professional storyteller, historical performer, and consultant. She completed international studies online from the University of Denver. She currently resides in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Ms. Valentine has an extensive and impressive legacy as a member of the National Association of Black Storytellers. Denise, I will in no way attempt to project to this audience the passion and commitment that you have as an awarding griot. Hence, I will let you begin by telling our audience the beginnings of the griot legend of Afrocentric storytelling.
Well, in traditional African villages, people gathered around a baobab tree or in the king's court or in the marketplace to listen to stories about centuries of African history or to learn the values, culture, and values and traditions of the culture. Sometimes the stories were to teach about history, but sometimes they were just to entertain and to make people laugh. Now, this is in West African culture, and then I was introduced to an organization that perpetuates, that preserves and perpetuates the ancient oral art of storytelling and carries it on, passes it on to current and preserves it for future generations.
Absolutely, and they've done that very well, not only in some of the many states, but also under the national organization mission, the National Association of Black Storytellers. What is their real mission and purpose as well?
The mission? I'm sorry. The mission
of the National Association.
First, let me tell you a little bit about NABS, as we call it.
Okay.
The National Association of Black Storytellers, was founded by the late Mary Carter Smith and also Linda Goss of Baltimore. They started this organization in order to preserve the art of storytelling. And they have affiliates, 15 affiliates, all around the country. And one of those affiliates is called Keepers of the Culture Incorporated. And that is the affiliate that raised me up as a storyteller. You can find the National Association of Black Storytellers on the internet. Our website is www.nabs, that's N-A-B-S, I-N-C.org, nabsinc.org. Now, NABS is the authentic voice of Black storytelling. Now, all cultures have a tradition of storytelling, but NABS specifically preserves what we call Black storytelling, all one word. And we are having our 33rd annual national conference and festival in Arlington, Virginia, next week, in fact, November 12th through the 15th. And our theme is Victory and Vision. So if you visit our website, you can learn more about how to register for the conference and how to join us for this wonderful event.
That sounds great, and we're going to repeat that, too, before we really go off the air. I know because of your impressive journey as a master storyteller in our brief conversation we had when I met you, how did you start? And what was your motivation to actually do this, to become a storyteller?
Well, storytelling, I always tell people I encountered this quite by accident.
Oh, okay.
First of all, I had no idea that there was any such thing as a profession in storytelling. I always thought it would be something I might like to do when I became an elder. You know, that image that people have of sitting in a rocking chair and telling stories.
Right.
One day I was talking to a friend, my daughter's friend, and she told me I had a storyteller's voice, and that I should find a group called Keepers of the Culture. It just so happened that they were giving a course called Storytelling 101 at Temple University that year. I signed up for the course. It was being taught by a sister, Carolise Frank Reed. Now, it's also a coincidence. Well, I don't believe there are any coincidences. All of this is in divine order, I believe. The year that I took that storytelling course, NABS, the National Association of Black Storytellers, just happened to be having their annual national conference in Philadelphia. That was in 1996. So Dr. Frank Reed, she invited all of her students to attend the national conference. I saw master storytellers from all over the world, and I was hooked. I've been hooked ever since. And it is through Keepers of the Culture and the National Association of Black Storytelling that I've gained the training and the knowledge to not only further my interest in and my love of storytelling, but to become a professional storytelling. So this is actually my career now, my full-time career.
Just listening to that account, it's just, you know, it's heartwarming and very thrilling. But what can be more thrilling? Again, Denise, only you can tell us how magnificent it must have been of an adventure to tour South Africa in 2004.
Oh, yes, it has been one of my most memorable events since I've started storytelling. Now, that was actually another organization called the National Storytelling Network in partnership with People-to-People Ambassador Program. I traveled to South Africa with an award from the Leeway Foundation to study the preservation of the African oral tradition. And we all traveled together as storytelling ambassadors. Like I said, that was a truly a wonderful opportunity to meet storytellers from South Africa and to learn from each other. I made friends in South Africa that I'm still friends with today.
excellent. Denise, I'm going to break the questions now so that our audience would know that you have this opportunity to really go back to Africa, but through funding. And that it's imperative that you have this in by a certain period of time. Now, I hope our listeners have now settled down and they can get this information. So I want you to take your time and tell our audience about this other wonderful invitation that you have received by the National Association of Black Storytellers to perform at PanaFest and participate in their Intercontinental Scholarly Exchange on the preservation of the African oral tradition through Black storytelling, and how they can help you to actually go forth with this.
Yes, I'm so happy for the opportunity to be able to share this. I'm so excited about this opportunity. I've been invited by the National Association of Black Storytellers, along with about 11 or 12 other storytellers from around the country, to perform at PanaFest and participate in this Intercontinental Scholarly Exchange. It takes place December 3rd through the 12th in Ghana, West Africa. But we all have to raise our own funds to go. We have to raise most of our funds. And my air flight is actually due tomorrow. So I have a GoFundMe campaign to help raise the funds for my airfare. And I am only about $400 or $500 short of my goal. Now, I have a very good reason, though, for being tardy with my campaign, because I have been otherwise busy helping to welcome my wonderful, wonderful granddaughter into the world. She just arrived on October 30th. I am so happy to have welcomed my third granddaughter into the world, my daughter Chanel's first baby. I'm still in Atlanta, as a matter of fact. I travel back to Philadelphia tomorrow. But I'd like to share with you my GoFundMe link if you would like to contribute to my, I call it my Wings to Roots campaign. It's www.gofundme.com/wings. The number 2, Roots.
All right. What I'm going to do is let you repeat that again, and then we're going to take a short break. So repeat it again and so people can write it down. It's important. Let me interject, Denise, to tell them how important this is for the preservation of those things that we need to make sure that our children know about as well. So repeat all of that again, the exchange and your website where they can go. And repeat, you know, also that you only need a certain amount. Go ahead.
Yes, I will repeat that. PanaFest is the Pan-African Historical Theater Festival taking place in Ghana, West Africa, in the historic township of Cape Coast, Elmina, on December 3rd. To the 12th of this year, 2015. Members of the National Association of Black Storytellers will actually perform at PanaFest and will get to participate in a scholarly exchange on the preservation of the African oral tradition. So this is a very significant milestone in my training as a griot. You know, traditional griots, an actual griot in West Africa, is trained from about the age of 5 to be a griot. So I actually don't claim to be a griot. I am a griot in training. But one of the most important, a very significant step in my journey to becoming a master griot is to actually learn the art and the craft of storytelling in West Africa. And so this is part of my effort to do that. My GoFundMe campaign is www.GoFundMe. That's GoFundMe.com/wings2. That's the number 2, roots. Wings 2 roots. That's WING, the number 2. ROOTS.
Excellent. I'm going to let people to absorb that. And what we're going to do, Denise, is take a 5 to 7 second break. And we'll be right back.
Yeah. Let's get loose.
This straight.
Yeah. That thing.
What up, y'all? I just came to your city to say what's up.
What up?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Show me love.
Show me love.
Hey.
Hop off the plane to a new show.
What up?
And all the shorties, they be waiting on me. Thugs packing they pistols. But ain't nobody aiming on me. Got a pocket full of fresh dough. So you know I gotta bake it, homie. And I'm thankful. Get whatever you want, it's on me. New songs on the radio. DJs, they be showing love.
Hi, and welcome back to Wish Upon a Star. I'm your host, Andell Banks, and our honored guest today is Denise Valentine. We have just brought forth her website where you can help her to make sure her funding is complete by tomorrow to go to Ghana, West Africa as a storyteller. Denise, you also, in your presentations, you have a collaboration and project. And that one project, How Can Deep Knowledge of History Change Lives, seems very thought-provoking. I understand you examined issues in the Black past. What were some of the factors that you discovered in that project?
What I discovered in that project is how effective storytelling can be in many different aspects of our community. Let me tell you a little bit more about the project, which was called Reconstruction. Reconstruction was a collaboration between historians, specifically historian Philip Seitz, and a group called Reconstruction, Inc., chaired by William Goldsby, a Black psychologist, Dr. Tom Gordon, and a cohort of ex-offenders. And we asked the question if deep knowledge of history could change lives. And we had a series of very difficult history colloquia where we asked the cohort to examine issues in the Black past, specifically about the traumatic history of slavery, from slavery through Reconstruction, Jim Crow, civil rights, and on up to the new age of mass incarceration. The cohort members ranged in age from late teens all the way up to, I think the oldest member was in his 60s. And it was amazing to, first of all, to see the range of knowledge they had. Some of them had a very extensive knowledge of our history already, and some of them had none. But we were able to bring in historians that could share information from all of these areas that was new to all of us. But it was information that would have been painful, and we had to have a way to process this so that we weren't just rehashing old facts and bringing up the pain of slavery just to bring them up. What we wanted to do and what my role was specifically was to help these individuals take this new information and give them tools and techniques from storytelling to be able to reclaim both their ancestral names and homeland, reclaim not only their stories, but to reclaim their right to speak for their communities, to be the stakeholders, the story holders for themselves and their communities, so that they could then go out into their communities and teach, younger. Now, there were only men involved in this pilot project. They could then go out and teach other young men knowledge that would make a difference in the choices they make in their everyday lives now.
Excellent. I was associated with a program of ex-offenders just calling Returning Back to Society. And you were absolutely right. I know it must have been interesting because some of the stories I would hear from these young men, and like I said, again, as in your case, they were very young. Some of them had been in prison for like 10 to 18 years.
Yeah.
And they had to come back into society. So I know. Now, did y'all write a paper or something on that where maybe somebody can actually see what
the actual...
there are
actually some articles and blog posts. You'll forgive me, I don't have the links in front of me, but you can go to my website and my blog to find more information. My website is www.denisevalentine.com. My website is my name, denisevalentine.com. I also have a blog, storymama01.wordpress.com. Storymama01.wordpress.com. So I have linked articles on there, not only about Reconstruction, but about many of the other ways that I use storytelling as a interpretive tool for history.
Excellent.
Yes.
All of this will be in the archives, so if anyone wants to, listen to it again and get this information we have given to them, and I'm glad you repeat each one of them, because it doesn't sound the same over the line, in some cases.
Yeah.
But you get a very exclusiveness that where they can get this particular article, and maybe many more as well, I'm sure. Again, Denise, in your travels, it's just so exciting when you hear about these things. To be invited as a featured presenter in Jamaica West Indies in their event called Rediscover, Retell, and Review. Tell us about that.
Oh, yes. In November of last year, I traveled to Jamaica, which happens to be my ancestral homeland.
Okay.
Yes, that was very exciting. I traveled to Jamaica to participate in the Storytelling Festival of Jamaica, along with the international contingent of storytellers from all over the world, including Jan Blake, Diane Follett, and this festival is called Anansi Sound Splash. Of course, Anansi is the spider god, the creature who is responsible for bringing stories to Earth. And he is known as a trickster character in many different storytelling traditions all over the world. And this, in 2014, that event just happened to coincide with the 100th anniversary of the founding of Marcus Garvey's UNIA. Now, Marcus Garvey, of course, was born in Jamaica. So the theme for this event, Rediscover, Retell, and Renew, honored Marcus Garvey. It was hosted by Intakuma, the Storytelling Foundation of Jamaica, headed by Amina Blackwood Meeks. Now, at this event, I got to perform or present academic papers at Edna Manley College of the Visual and Performing Arts in Kingston, Menigue College in St. Anne Parish, and Montego Bay Community College. And while I was there, I got to visit members of my family and do some historical research, and it was just a wonderful event. It is held every other year in Jamaica, so hopefully I will return to Jamaica in 2016.
I'm very happy for you. I ain't mad. I'm not jealous. Okay. That is wonderful. I, like I said, I don't want to leave anything out, because I want our audience to know that this is a type of profession, like you've got it, that is very involved in a lot of aspects, that you can use it. We also want to let our audience know and be aware of some of your media achievements. I know you did a voiceover for Emancipating Cliveden, which was a documentary about historic Germantown. Again, how exciting was that event or project?
That was a project very dear to my heart. Cliveden, you can say it either way, is a historic estate that is in an area where I live now, historic Germantown in Philadelphia. Okay. It is known all over the world as the site of the Battle of Germantown during the American Revolution. And people still come to this site all over, you know, from all over the world to see where this battle took place. And also, it was owned by Benjamin Chu, who was the Chief Justice for Provincial Pennsylvania before the American Revolution. Mm-hmm. Now, what people did not know, and what has been revealed in recent decades, is that Benjamin Chu and the Chu family owned 400 enslaved Africans over 7 generations of their family, and spread them, and they were spread out over 9 different plantations in Maryland, Delaware, and Virginia. And then, of course, some of them were actually in residence in Philadelphia at both their home in the city and their home in Germantown, which was their country estate. So these documents were literally unearthed from the basement of this mansion. And they kind of sat around for a couple of decades while somebody tried to decide what to do with them. And in the meantime, they continued to give the usual tour of the house, talking about the furniture and the battle and how wealthy these people were, without talking about why, you know, or how they had amassed such great wealth. So the community, once the community found out about these papers, there was an effort to get this information out to the public. And when it finally came out, that's when the project was called Emancipating Cliveden. So we were emancipating the history of that house and making that historic site mean something much more to the community that surrounded that historic house. And they made a documentary when they redid the exhibition, and my voice is featured in the documentary. So I have worked on other projects in Philadelphia, emancipating hidden history.
Right.
And one of those projects is called the President's House. The Making of a New Nation, Freedom and Slavery, and the Making of a New Nation. Now, everyone knows that George Washington was the first president of the United States. But a lot of people don't know that Philadelphia was actually the first capital, and that the first White House, so to speak, was in Philadelphia.
That's correct.
Well, that, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, that information was not appreciated, I guess, around the 1950s or 60s.
Right.
That building was knocked down. I think there was a parking lot or something there. Mm-hmm. Well, while the National Park Service, the independent National Park Service, was digging up the ground in to build a new pavilion for the Liberty Bell. They unearthed this president's house and decided to build a monument there to honor George Washington and this first White House. But what they also found was that there were 9 Africans enslaved there. Now, Washington owned a lot more enslaved Africans than that, over 300. But were in at his plantation in Virginia called Mount Vernon. But right in Philadelphia, in my hometown, where there is this perception that there never was any slavery. I know a lot of people have that perception. They realized that the first president of our nation enslaved Africans right there in that house that is now just steps in front of the Liberty Bell, which is the symbol, you know, that people come to see from all over the world that represents liberty and freedom. But here there was this paradox of enslavement just steps away from the Liberty Bell. So, the community, in particular the African-American community, insisted that this information not only be remembered, but that these Africans be memorialized as well as George Washington. And now that memorial exists in the form of the President's House Memorial. And I got to tell this story on a program called Mysteries at the Monument on the Travel Channel. It aired in August and September, yes. And you can find a clip of it on YouTube.
Okay, great. You're absolutely right. And my mantra is that the real truth and the history will prevail, maybe not in our lifetime, but maybe, you know, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren will know the truth of all the greatness of the African culture, not necessarily African-American, but just the African culture itself. I have been to the Centennial at Philadelphia, at the Liberty Bell as well, and that's important to know that. And a lot of stories are out there that are so untrue, like George Washington had wooden teeth, and anybody with any kind of common sense, not even scientific, know you can't put water on wood. So the whole true story is that he took the teeth from his slaves, and they called it wooden teeth because the name of the dentist who did the work was named Dr. Wood. So not to show that they cut off our limbs and took our teeth out of our mouth and all of that, you know, they changed the stories around. Okay, moving on, you are a very recognized professional storyteller in the continuing tradition of African oral storytelling. So what are some of the rewards that have been bestowed to you? I know it may be early in your career, but at this point.
Well, the most significant award that I've received recently was the 2014 Sankofa Research Award, presented to me by Mama Linda Goff and Friends of the Artist. This award funded a journey to South Carolina to research and tell the story of my own ancestors. I had it had been my passion for so long to research and tell these stories, and I didn't know very much about my own family history. Well, I had a DNA test done that revealed some very interesting insights, but left me with more questions than answers.
Well, just to interject, tell the audience what your birth surname is.
Oh, very ironically, my maiden name is Denise Washington.
And that's your... Okay, continue.
Yes, and just there's a funny story there because you and I actually met while I was attending a tribute in honor of Mother Mary Carter Smith.
Right.
And I had I was also attending two other events that weekend. One was the 20th anniversary of the Million Man March in D.C., and the other event was a wreath laying at the slave cemetery, the cemetery for enslaved Africans that lived on George Washington's estate, Mount Vernon, in Alexandria, Virginia. And so that was a very, very just incredible experience for me that weekend. And when I met you in Baltimore, I was experiencing all these very historic events. And I think I told you when I met you that I was very struck by this ceremony because my last name is Washington. I don't know if there's any connection. There probably isn't, because Washington is actually the most common African American name, the most common black name in the world.
That's because it was the fact that you said he had so many slaves, and by generations and generations. You know, the slaves took the master's name, you know.
Yeah.
Another thing, too, I was thinking about was the story that was told at that particular concert about brotherly love.
That I'm sorry, about?
Interesting.
Oh, yes, about
when
brotherly
Greo
love.
When Greo told the story about Philadelphia and how he got subnamed as brotherly love.
Yes, the city of brotherly
love. I
love
that. It was beautiful. What we're going to do now, Denise, is take another little short break, and we can get a glass of water, because I know I need some. And then we will be right back in 10 seconds.
All right.
Welcome back. This is Andale Banks, your host at Wish Upon a Star. And our honored guest today is Denise Valentine, storyteller. I just want to give a little advertisement and a shout out and ask you, have you heard of Motor Club of America? Well, Motor Club of America is a wonderful benefit package that offers a $50,000 accidental death coverage, $150 daily hospital benefit, discount on prescription, vision, and dental, a $1,000 credit card protection, a $5,000 stolen vehicle reward, and much, much more. If you're interested in this interesting and very phenomenal package, please call 443-889-9422. All of these benefit packages is only $19.95 a month. Again, if you're interested, you can also visit www.mymcapro.com/Denise Banks. But again, you can call 443-889-9422. It is Motor Club, or go online, Motor Club of America. Well, welcome back, Denise.
Thank you so much.
Okay, everything you've been telling me is as interesting as it can possibly be. But I also know that from your bio, that not only are you a great storyteller, a performer, a consultant, but you also introduce new projects into this arena of uplifting the folklore and traditions of our African heritage. Enlighten us on this endeavor.
Well, are you referring to the Philadelphia Middle Passage ceremony?
Yes.
Is that yes.
Where you started. You started that.
Yes, I am the founder and project coordinator for the Philadelphia
right.
Middle Passage Ceremony and Port Marker Project. No, that's not actually a folklore project. What that is an effort to support a larger project coordinated by, now this is a little bit of a tongue twister for me, the Middle Passage Ceremonies and Port Markers Project. This is
right.
a national organization that is conducting ancestral remembrance ceremonies around 175 Middle Passage ports around, involved in the transatlantic slave trade.
In the Middle Passage, right.
Yes, in the Middle Passage. And UNESCO is now a part of this effort. Well, when I heard that my city, Philadelphia, was on this list, but that there was no ancestral remembrance ceremony specifically remembering the ancestors who perished in the Middle Passage, I decided that I had to do that. So I began an effort in 2013 to have Philadelphia acknowledged Penn's Landing and other locations on the Delaware River as port of entry for Africans during the transatlantic human trade to commemorate the nearly 2 million Africans who perished in the Middle Passage
mm-hmm.
and to gather support for the installation of a historical marker in their memory. And so every year on June 2nd,
mm-hmm.
we hold a blessing of the river and ancestral remembrance ceremony on Penn's Landing in Philadelphia. We also are trying to raise funds for the installation of that historical marker. So you can, on my website, DeniseValentine.com, you can find links to this effort as well. I have a Twitter account called Philadelphia MPC, and you can follow this effort on Twitter as well.
All right. Is this an actual operating building, the Independence Seaport Museum?
The Independence Seaport Museum is an actual operating museum. They are not affiliated with the Middle Passage Project, but they have allowed us the use of the pier for the first 3 years of the project. We hope that that's an ongoing relationship. But they also have a very fascinating exhibit there called Tides of Freedom, African Presence on the Delaware River, curated by Dr. Tukufu Zubiri, the former host of the History Detectives. So if you're in Philadelphia and you get to the Penn's Landing area on the waterfront, I encourage you to go to this museum, Independence Seaport Museum, and see that exhibit.
That's why I asked you, because I love that. Yeah. I love Philadelphia, and of course I'm an artist, so I love museums. And the city has the architecture is what fascinates me so much. I love the architecture.
Okay.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, that's Independence Seaport Museum, and you can get all this information online at Denise's website. And speaking of your website, you just got so many interesting and heart crunching things, like roots and wings. Oh, I just love the name. So it's very warm and inviting title. And how did that come about?
You.
And do you have an in-depth meaning or just what it says?
Yes. There is an African proverb that says that the only thing of value, of true value, we can leave to our children are roots
mm-hmm.
and wings.
Ah.
And I believe that stories are like roots to our past and wings to our future. And so I chose it as my motto or my theme for storytelling. And in fact, my logo is an umbrella thorn or a coffee tree, which has this huge, beautiful canopy, and it sinks its roots very far, you know, very deep roots down into the ground. Because the deeper the roots, the stronger the tree.
The Absolutely.
Deeper the roots, the stronger the tree, the deeper
in
the
some
roots.
Some of my paintings, I put that tree in there.
Oh, I have to see some of your paintings. I can't wait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm working on, and a matter of fact, I'm going to do another one called Roots and Wings. I really am. And I'm going to send it to you when I finish. It'll be the spring before I finish because I'm working on some things now. But it takes a while to really get. I'm doing just the drafts and the studies. But that's a great title, and that's why I'm asking because I just think it's so great. Now, how can we can get this on the website at
www.denisevalentine.com, and that's D-E-N-I-S-E, B as in Victor, A-L-E-N-T-I-N-E.com. Now, I also can give you the website for NABS, and I'm afraid I didn't share all of the information I wanted to about NABS. I didn't tell you about Adopt a Teller. There is, NABS has a program, a project called Adopt a Teller. Our festival and conference is in a different city every year. And when we come to your city, we converge on the city. Well, the storytellers are coming to Washington, D.C. They're coming from all around the country to celebrate the African oral tradition. Mm. And we will go into schools, libraries. There will be workshops, storytelling concerts, what we call a liars contest, youth storytellers, and a dynamic storytellers scholars panel. So the Adopt a Teller program is our community outreach arm of the storytellers. So we come to tell stories and we don't just tell to ourselves. We try
right.
to engage. We try to engage the entire community in this 3-day event. It is co-sponsored, sorry, I don't want to say the wrong thing, we have a pre-festival event that is sponsored by the D.C. Commission on the Arts, and you can find more information about NABS on our website, NABS. Inc.org. That's NABSINC.org. We also have a Facebook page, the National Association of Black Storytellers. We have a Twitter account and a blog at NABS Talking. NABS Talking is our Twitter handle, and it's also the name of our blog. And you can find links to all of this, including our YouTube channel, on the NABS website.
Excellent. Absolutely excellent. Like I said, all of this will be on the archive link so people can go back and listen to it. But if, like you said before, if they just go to your site, they can get all of this, Denise Valentine Storyteller. And you get all of the other links, which is very, very important. Right. Denise, I want you to do it again. I want you to actually recite again at the importance that you get this manifest requirement so that you can go to Ghana, West Africa. So let's go through that manifest requirement again.
And yes, I have. I am so close to reaching my goal of, I call this campaign Wings to My Roots, because these contributions are helping me to not only journey home to my ancestral homeland, but to learn what I need to learn in order to become the story holder, the story keeper, the storyteller for my community, to preserve and hold and tell the stories in my community. And when I say my community, that's not only where I live, but the world. The world is my community. And I believe that storytelling is a calling. It's not just a job. It's something that I was called to do. I was called by the Creator. I was called by my ancestors to preserve the knowledge of our history and our culture, and to pass it on to future generations. And I have the opportunity to do that, not only to perform at Panifest, but to also learn from griots in West Africa. Many times when I go tell stories, people introduce me as an African storyteller. And I said, no, I'm not an African storyteller. I was not born in Africa. I was not raised as a storyteller in Africa. I am an African-American storyteller who tells stories in the West African tradition.
Exactly.
And in order for that to really, really be true, I mean, I have studied under storytellers here in America and in South Africa, but I have not been to West Africa where the traditional griot, that tradition is strongest. So this is why I am journeying to Ghana, along with about 11 or 12 other members of the National Association of Black Storytellers, to gain this knowledge firsthand and to learn about African history, culture, and tradition firsthand, and to bring this healing and nurturing information back here. And so my GoFundMe campaign is Wings to Roots. GoFundMe.com/Wings to Roots. I'm only about $500 away from my goal. I have to actually pay for my airline ticket tomorrow, and I'm so close. I am just so, so close. So if this is, you know, people ask me, why should people care about this? And honestly, I can't convince someone to care about storytelling or care about me going. But if you can hear in my voice how passionate I am about, you know, preserving this tradition. And if it's something that is important to you, you can contribute in three ways. You can make a contribution. You can share my campaign with other people, or you can simply visit my GoFundMe campaign and just make a comment, you know, comment about why this is important to you, you know, why you want to share this information, why you think I should go. Or you can contribute, you can share.
Right. I don't think anybody's not saying that when they say that you are African storytelling, this and that. What dare say, they're not disenfranchising the fact of, you know, you're not the real one from Africa. But what they're saying is, we know about these things. Mm-hmm. We know that our young people need to know where they came from, where they're from, kings and queens. So being black, it's an innate thing with us to know that and to share it as well. So, Denise, let's say someone has listened to the show. We have all ages that listen to the show, because we talk about all kinds of artistic things. What advice would you give someone who
who might want to share their uplifting and inspiring cultural experience as a storyteller.
The first thing I would advise them is to find out if their state has an affiliate of NADS. And you do that by going to the website, nadsinc.org, and see the list of affiliates that are either in your state or near your state. Even if there is not an affiliate in your state, you should be able to find one close enough that can give you information. In other words, if you go to the NADS website, we list each of the affiliates and contact information. The African Folk Heritage Circle in New York, ASHE, the Chicago Association of Black Storytellers, Black Storytellers Alliance in Minneapolis, Minnesota, Black Storytellers of San Diego, Black Storytelling League of Rochester, New York, Cleveland Association of Black Storytellers, Detroit, Griot Circle of Maryland, Keepers of the Culture in Philadelphia, Kuumba of Georgia, North Carolina Association of Storytellers, Rhode Island Association of Black Storytellers. I don't want to leave anybody out, but we go on and on and on, Utah and Wichita. So if you cannot find one that's in your state, just call the one that's closest to your state and see if anyone can help you find resources. Another thing is to go to the library. Go to the library and look for a book called Talk That Talk by Linda Gah. So find a storytelling group, go to the library, and visit my website, because I'm always posting, I'm always doing blog posts, and posting other resources where you can find more information. I have a Facebook page, a Twitter account, Instagram. In fact, if you just Google me, Denise Valentine Storyteller, you'll get all of my social media outlets. Should be accessible.
Yeah, it's there, because I have gone through it. You give a lot of general, good information. Now, Denise, let's go and throw in one more time, which will probably be another interesting event that everybody should attend, and it's closer to home, the annual National Black Storytelling Festival and Conference, Victory and Vision. Let's repeat that again.
Yes, the National Black Storytelling Festival. The storytellers are coming to Washington, D.C. They are coming from all around the country to celebrate the African oral tradition from November 12th through the 15th during our 33rd annual In the Tradition National Black Storytelling Festival and Conference. It's a three-day event including workshops, concerts, our world-renowned Liars Contest, youth storytellers, and even a scholars panel. We will be in Arlington, Virginia. Trying to see if I see the name of the hotel here. No, I'm sorry, I don't have that right in front of me. But if you go to our website, NABS Inc., that's NABSINC.org, you will find all of the information you need to register for the event, including the pre-festival event, which is sponsored by the D.C. Commission on the Humanities and Arts. So please visit our website, register, even if you can only attend for a day, or even if you can go to one concert.
Right. Okay, Denise, it has been absolutely fantastic, and I want to say thank you. And God bless you, and I certainly will be getting back with you, because we go on vacation in December, but in January and February, I'm going to have Black History shows for those 2 months.
Oh.
And I certainly would like for you to actually, I'm telling you now, you're invited, and I'd like for you to actually read something for us. How does that sound?
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Thank you
so
much for inviting me.
Okay, I don't want to put that down. I don't know what day, but I want you to just give us a story.
Okay.
Well, I'm delighted to have met you, and thank you so much for inviting me to be a guest on your wonderful radio program. My best to you.
Thank you very much, and I'll get back with you to let you know when you can use this in any way that you want to once we put it online. Again, thank you so much, and God bless you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back in 10 seconds. Thanks, Denise, and goodbye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.